All right, so I first met Britt when I joined the choir. And if you know the choir, you see them up here, you can tell that they're a family. And that directly comes from Britt, his guidance, his leadership. You know, and then I got to know him more in retreats. I've took classes here, the Four T's. I've taken lessons in truth. Just absolutely amazing. My whole view of unity has expanded as Britt has expanded, especially in this last year. And as a prayer chaplain and a board member, just working with him is absolutely amazing. Just maybe about last month, something came up, and I said to Britt, you know, I want you to know I am on your side. And he said to me, well, Keith, I want you to know that I'm working on there not being any sides. I'm like, what? Who says that? Britt Hall says that, and it's my honor to introduce to you our speaker for today, our spiritual director, Reverend Britt Hall.
Come on and go Hawaiian. Wow. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Rosina is back. Wow. Even though that was a sermon unto itself, we are just getting started. Well, welcome to Friendship Sunday, where our friends know who we really are and love us in spite of it. And we told you there'd be prizes for those who brought the most people today. So can I have a little help from Tony, Adrian, Marianne? Come on up. Carol Merrill cubed. So, can we have the house lights up a little more?
Sure.
Or are they up all the way? No, there they go. Hey! Okay. Raise your hand if you have a lot of friends with you today. Who brought 5 friends or more? Anybody?
Wait, Teresa, are you here? Because if she is, then I got like 5 people.
Do you know what the prizes are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I told you. I thought she was, you know, trying, because they're good. So nobody brought 5 friends. Who brought 4 friends?
One back there.
Help me look. Natalia. Sally? Natalia? 4 of you brought 4 friends. Okay. Lights are bright. So we have 4 people who brought 4 friends. Huh. There are 3 prizes. Yeah, prove it. Nobody brought 5 friends? Okay, Natalia. Stand up. Stand up, friends. Okay, you know what we're going to have to do? If you are the 4 people who brought 4 friends, come up here. Come on up. Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do. Hey, come on up. Come on up, Diana. Marilyn, Natalia. Okay. No, that's not going to work. Okay, we're coming up with a new blend. One, two. Wait, are all the friends coming up? We just need the people that brought the friends. Friends, sit back down. One, two. There are five people with four friends. Yes? Okay. God, how do we do paper, rock, scissors here? Okay. Yeah. What? Are you forfeiting your prize? Oh, Diana, just because of that, I want to give you one. Oh, honey. I know you have your prizes. We'll have brunch together. I thought, really? You're good to... Wow. Oh, Natalia. I did a baby blessing for her baby over the summer, so I know that's your prize. I know that. Little Simone. I know that. Okay, so we've got three people, three prizes. Let me see. Give me. Okay, you go. Go over there, Marilyn. Go, but close your eyes after you get there. Walk over there. I love Marilyn. She reminds me of the Pointer Sisters. Okay, we've got our three winners. What is your name? Carol Knack. Carol Knack, I hope you like Starbucks. There's enough for you and one of your friends, not the other three. So enjoy your coffee today. And Chris, hope you like going to the movies, because it's expensive now, you and a friend. And Marilyn... So shy. So shy. You're going to Regional for brunch. Regional restaurant between 98th and 99th. Thank you, girls, for standing and looking pretty. So, speaking of Rosina... Do you believe in yourself? Because this morning I would like to talk about beliefs. You see, every day our beliefs filter all of the experiences that we're having. And beliefs can lead to either our highest fulfillment or they can lead to our most frustrating setbacks. Is that news to you? Now remember, it's not about the beliefs that we choose, but it's about how self-aware we are about the beliefs. It's not, I believe it when I see it, which is what we're commonly taught. It's, I'll see it when I believe it. Belief is not about being religious. It is the very foundation of your life's meaning. It's about building a self where you are the builder, which is pretty much what Rosina just preached in that song. And speaking of beliefs, are any of you doing the current 21-day meditation with Oprah and Deepak Chopra? I love that that rhymes. Oprah Chopra, if they were married, right? Yeah, the series that began this past week. I love these 21-day meditations that they put together. They're such a great meditation tool, especially for people who are trying to figure out how to meditate. It's just a great way to do that. And you can still hop into that. Now, I'm not getting any kind of kickback on this or anything. I just really believe in it. Well, the current series that they're doing is based on the premise that you are what you believe. It is what creates your life. And the very first step is becoming aware of what it is that you believe. They talk about, as humans, it's in our nature to want to believe in ourselves and to believe in something greater than ourselves. And maybe that's why you're here today. Even if you don't know that on a conscious level, and even if it appears that a friend dragged you here, maybe that's why you're here. I believe that we do become what we believe. From our beliefs stem all of our possibilities for growth and transformation, which is really a key element of what unity is about. And what I'd really like to talk about today is what unity believes, its philosophy. So whether you are fairly new to unity, or are here today for the very first time, or if you've been around here for years, I have no doubt that you are going to learn something new today, so pay attention. I can see you. Now, first of all, unity is an open-minded, accepting spiritual community that honors all paths to God and helps people discover and live their spiritual potential and purpose. Unity seeks to apply the teachings of Jesus as well as other spiritual masters. Unity affirms the power of prayer and helps people experience a stronger connection with God every day. Now, just a few minutes ago, our ushers gave out welcome packs, right? Yes? Okay, I was back there, so I wasn't sure. One of the things that's in the welcome pack is the welcome letter from Unity of New York. And it goes something like this. We are blessed to welcome you to our Sunday celebration service. Our message here at Unity of New York is a simple yet exciting truth. You are God's perfect, eternal creation, just as you are. When you acknowledge and accept this truth, it will become apparent in your life almost immediately. More abundance, a healthier body, peace of mind, more loving relationships are just some of the results of accepting yourself as God's wonderful child. We come together at Sunday services, weekly classes, retreats, workshops, social and community gatherings to celebrate our lives as creations of spirit and to remind each other that though we may go through challenging times, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around. Gathering with like-minded individuals helps us to remember that there is an inner power greater than any challenge that may ever appear in our lives. Our mission statement at Unity of New York is creating our lives, living our dreams. Our ministry was established to help us unleash the power of God through our dreams, our ideas, and our life goals into our daily lives. Once we are clear as to what kind of life we desire, we then apply Unity's very practical and usable tools of creativity, as directed by divine love and wisdom within. Everything we require to express unlimited success is already within us. As our great teacher and elder brother Jesus taught us, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. Our deepest desire here at Unity of New York is for everyone we serve to joyfully and passionately know and live these truths. Welcome to Unity of New York. You are God's perfect, eternal creation, just as you are. That's it. Honest to God, that's it. That's the message. And we have tools to help us get to that place of knowing this truth. You may have read in your bulletin this morning that we have a class that's beginning this coming Tuesday for 4 weeks called Unity 101. And we haven't offered this class in a couple of years. It really is a great class for newcomers to Unity as well as seasoned old-timers who may have been around here for years. We'll be delving deeper into the Unity teachings, the history of the Unity movement, the history of Unity of New York, and it'll be taught by our three licensed teachers, myself, Kathy, and Lewis, whom you've already seen this morning. So that is the upcoming four-session class, but for today, I want to see if I can give you the nutshell version of what Unity really is about. Is it a church? Does that word scare anybody? Church? Still kind of loaded? Well, what is a church? According to the dictionary, church is a biblical word for assembly. It can mean any of the following. One, all Christians, living and dead. See saints. Two, one of the largest divisions or denominations of Christianity, such as Eastern Orthodox Church, Methodist Church, or Roman Catholic Church. Three, an individual congregation of Christians meeting in one building, also the building itself. That's a lot of Christianity in there. Now, while we are certainly gathering or congregating in a building called Symphony Space, and Unity is primarily based on the teachings of Jesus, this definition doesn't really feel right, does it? Doesn't really feel like us. We mostly refer to ourselves as a spiritual center for creative living. So much of traditional religion has to do with salvation in the hereafter, which is pretty much the polar opposite of what Unity teaches, which is really all about transformation in the here and in the now. Not later after we are done with our bodies. And that's a huge shift from the religion of old, isn't it? It's why it's called New Thought. Unity is not a codified religion. It's a philosophy about transforming your life. And if you have no desire to transform your life, that is okay. This is simply a great place to be around a lot of great people. Sorry, my mouth is really dry. I had a steroid shot in my butt on Friday so I could speak to you today. I'm like, it's like I've been eating Elmer's glue. Anyway, digression. TMI. So I've heard people say that Unity is a church about positive thinking and living. And then I've heard them be asked, how can that be a church? I don't know, it just is. It's open-minded, open-ended Christianity. Yeah, that's it. Open-minded, open-ended Christianity. Now, the founders of Unity, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, along with a number of other advanced thinkers of their time, well over 100 years ago, in fact, in the late 1800s, they figured out that life could be different. It could be better by changing your thoughts and your beliefs. Thus, the term New Thought. They were part of what became known as the New Thought movement. You see, life back then really was pretty hard, if you think about it, because the predominant belief was that it was supposed to be hard. And so it was. The typical lifespan was maybe half of what it is now. Things like tuberculosis were believed to be a death sentence until Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore discovered the power of prayer and lived about 45 years longer than being told that she would live for about 6 months when she was told to get her affairs together. So again, at its core, Unity is about transforming your life. But how do we do this thing called transformation in Unity? Well, we have these five basic principles. In fact, they're in your bulletin every single week. Have you noticed them? Okay, good for the 10 of you. Now, these five principles, they've almost turned us into a religion because they're pretty much the closest thing that we have to a doctrine. These principles were actually created fairly recently, a couple of decades ago, when Connie Fillmore, who was the granddaughter of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, was the president of Unity Association. Somebody said, you know, it's always so hard to tell people what unity is. We really need to create like a succinct little elevator pitch, elevator speech. And one thing led to another, and before you knew it, the Unity teachings had been distilled down to these five basic tenets. And you'll see different renditions of them depending on which Unity where you go. But they all say the same thing at their core. The first one is, God is absolute good. Yes? We don't believe God is a vindictive man in the sky waiting for us to fail. And some of us actually grew up with this, didn't we? I did. I know I did. I didn't like what that felt like, but as a kid, I didn't know otherwise. Even though I wanted to know otherwise, I didn't. And when I hear that now, it's such a breath of fresh air, isn't it? God is absolute good. And the second principle, if God is good, then all of us are good. If God is good, all of us are good. All of us. Now, good is not a behavior. We're talking absolute, as in certain, complete, intrinsic. There is no opposite of absolute. There's not bad and good. There is good. Capital G. And as God's creation, that makes us offspring of God. So if God is good, we have to also be good. And as Matthew Fox reminds us in his book, Original Blessing, we are not born in original sin, as most religions teach us. We are born in original blessing. And principle number three, we access God's wholeness, prosperity, peace of mind, joy beyond any imagined by transforming, there's that word again, transforming our thoughts, words, and actions from negative and limiting to joyful and positive ones. A common way to begin to increase your awareness and usage of this principle number three is to quit your bitching. You can start there. And the fourth principle, through prayer and meditation, we make contact with God within us. The Christ within does not mean Jesus within, like the little tiny dashboard Jesus. The Christ, it's the Christ mind within. Christ was not Jesus' last name. It's a state of mind, state of consciousness, I mean. It's that pure place of all knowing. And we're talking about positive, affirmative prayer, not praying to someone or to something out there in the outer, but praying from God within us, that truth within us, affirming what is true as opposed to what appears not to be true. Not begging, not beseeching, not praying for what we want as if we don't have it already. We are talking about praying affirmatively and meditation. How many of you meditate? How many of you meditate regularly? Good for you. Good for you. It's a discipline. It is a muscle to build, meditating regularly. And it's so important. It's so powerful. When I honor my discipline to meditate, it simply makes my life better without fail. It just does. And number five, here's the thing that I really love about Unity. It's kind of like, I think I got number five before I got the other ones. It's not enough to know all of these things. We have to live them in our daily lives. When I first heard of Unity, It was here in New York. I had never heard of it, didn't know it existed. I often say that if I had, as a child, I would probably have beach houses and mountain houses from money I could have saved on therapy. But here we are. So it took some work for me to embrace the name Unity Center for Practical Christianity. I just wasn't ready for that. It just kind of weirded me out a little bit. I don't know why, but just practical Christianity. And it was led by a man named Butterworth. I could not get the syrup bottle out of my head. I couldn't. I'm like, is that of the Butterworths? But I am forever infinitely grateful that I got over it. When I finally got it, that practical Christianity meant applying and practicing these things in my life, living them instead of memorizing them like a good Sunday school kid, like, you know, in good theory. When I got that, the entire trajectory of my life changed. And here I am today. I would never have thunk it that I would have been standing up here talking to all of you those years ago when I was trying to embrace the syrup bottle with practical Christianity. So remember, your religion is not where you go to church or what you believe. It's how you live your life. And unity is about how you live your life. I love the diversity of unity, the inclusiveness. While there is the foundational philosophy, again, it's a positive spiritual community that embraces all faiths. I know that there are Jews here today, Buddhists. I know there are Catholics here in the room. And speaking of kind of getting back to Jesus and the influence his teachings had on unity, there was a Catholic nun who said, you know, Jesus really only taught two things, to love and do not judge. No wonder he ascended. If you can get those two things down, you're on your way. But you see, Jesus knew that we would forget these two, so he added a third. And what was it? Forgive. Oy. Oy from the nice Jewish boy. Forgive. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And do not judge. I don't know about you, but I have judged others just for fun and sport. I'm just saying. I come from a long line of judgers. Not judges as in of the bench, but judgers. That's what Medea calls judges. You know, Tyler Perry, Medea. Heller, judgers. I have hung out with some really fun judgers most of my life. And then Unity wanted to take that away from me. Clearly, I have not yet ascended as Brother Jesus did, as I am here with all of you today. But like many of you in this place, I am working on it because I want to do some good while I'm here. How about you? And also, as some of you know, I'm good at sometimes saying the wrong thing. Like a bad joke. Like this one. Who said no? You haven't even heard it. It's good. Okay, there was this very elderly man who was close to being deaf. And as a last resort, his doctor recommended that he try the very latest high-tech hearing aids. Well, he got these high-tech hearing aids. And with these hearing aids, his hearing became nearly perfect. He was thrilled, he was ecstatic at experiencing all that he had been missing all those years. So after about a month of trying out his new hearing aids, he went back to the doctor for his follow-up appointment, and the doctor asked him how his new hearing was working out. The man said it has changed his life in ways beyond what he could have ever, ever imagined. And the doctor asked what his family's reaction was to his new hearing. He said he hadn't told them. He had just enjoyed listening to all the conversations around him that he had been missing all those years. And so far, he had changed his will 3 times. That was good, right? It's a law of averages. I have a good one every now and then. So A Course in Miracles asks if you want to be right or if you want to be happy. When we judge, we are not choosing happy. Are you willing to give up a good for a greater good? That's a big one, but it's an important one. And once again, it comes right back to your belief system. What do you believe? In Unity, we know the power and the importance of forgiving. Forgiving does not mean condoning. It means releasing someone that has kept you in bondage by your choice, not theirs. Giving up one thing in exchange for peace of mind and for freedom. Remember, when we do not forgive, withholding forgiveness, holding someone else to us in bondage, it's like slowly taking poison, hoping the other person will die. We are literally, physically, slowly poisoning ourselves when we hold on to that crap. And the most important ones to forgive, other than ourselves, are usually those that we love the most. Usually family, those closest to us. And maybe it's someone with you here today that you love very much. Sometimes we don't realize that we're hanging on to these things, that we're carrying them around like boulders, ball and chain. I've experienced some of this lately, in spite of what I know and how I aspire to live my life. You know, the human stuff. Remember, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, sometimes very human. Someone who used to be a major part of my life has been spinning a story of lies about me and about some people very close to me. And it has taken deep down to the core spiritual work to take the high road in spite of it, in spite of how hurtful it is. I know that I can't take things personally because I not only read the Four Agreements, I taught it. Remember the Four Agreements? The one that says don't take things personally, because it isn't. Whatever it is not personal. In reality and in truth, what someone else is going through on their journey, whatever it is, has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with us. Every journey is sacred. Every aspect of every journey is sacred. Now, I do feel taller from the growth opportunities. Do I look taller? Forgiveness is so important. It's a continuation of what Carlos was talking about a couple of weeks ago. Drop the rock in the rock fight. Drop the rock. It's the only way the fight will end. The truth will always prevail, but for that to happen, we have to know it, and we have to live it, and we have to keep our side of the street clean, take care of our own yard, and let things go. The message on my calendar at home today was, I joyously let go of all the things that no longer serve me. Isn't that great? I joyously let go of all the things that no longer serve me. That makes me think of the irony of when Lewis and I were recently in Turkey with our friend David Ault, and it was such a life-changing trip. It was awesome. And we were in this stunningly beautiful area in the middle of Turkey called Cappadocia. And the entire city, little place that we were in, consisted of buildings that were built into the rocks like caves. So there we were in this beautiful boutique hotel in the rocks with all these caves. And one night we decided, let's have a romantic dinner, break away from the group, and we'll sit in that restaurant outside under the stars, surrounded by all these beautiful mosques and moonlight, and what, for me, was one of the most stunning settings in the world. And at our perfect little table in the corner, there was a table next to us with a few adults and two little girls. Well, to keep the little girls occupied so the adults could enjoy their wine and their evening, they gave the little girls an iPad. And on the iPad, playing over and over and over and over, all evening, on a loop, was Let It Go. Drink that in. We had the pleasure of hearing Idina Menzel nonstop for a couple of hours. Idina, are you here today? Not that I don't love Idina and the message of that song, but we were about to crawl out of our skin right there in the middle of Turkey. And the evening that we envisioned was not going quite as planned until we realized the irony of how we were hanging on to Let It Go. When we realized this, the music finally stopped. And we were given free dessert and after-dinner drinks by the management. Now, the timing could have just been coincidental, and I think it might also have been due to mentioning to the waiter that I was considering throwing the iPad down the rocks below. But the point is, when we let it go, when we let it go, the payoff can be instant. Much like forgiveness, it is not for them, it is for us. And the other thing that Jesus taught that transforms us is giving thanks. And this month happens to be about gratitude and silent unity. The information to participate in the gratitude experience is right there on the front of your bulletin. See how these bulletins come in handy? They are chock full of good stuff. Take them with you. And we all read the affirmation that Kathy led us in earlier. Give thanks in advance. Give thanks in advance of the demonstration. This is what believing is. It's where the rubber meets the road. And it's my favorite way to pray. I just spotted my very own prayer partner sitting. I thought you were in Philadelphia having bacon, or Pennsylvania at the Bacon Fest. Hey, bacon is holy too. And Jesus also said, do not fear. It blocks the flow of good in our lives. Fear shuts things right down. It only repels the good that we are looking for. I spent so much of the day yesterday in this random fear that came up out of nowhere that isn't that where it usually comes from? That I wouldn't have anything to say this morning. Can you imagine that? God's funny. But you know, I got through it and I worked through it by giving thanks in advance and by remembering one of my main mantras. It is not I, it is the Christ within that does the work, whatever the work is. I carry that with me all the time. And one thing that came up while I was kind of going through this yesterday, I thought about Michelangelo and the Statue of David. Have you heard that story about how Michelangelo said the Statue of David was in that block of marble and he just had to chip away at what wasn't the statue? And I realized there was so much that I had swirling in my head. I had to chip away and let go of what wasn't needed. So give thanks for everything. And Jesus also said, speak the truth. We have become a society where other people so often deceive others out of fear. I mean, look at all the politics going on right now. And we have a whole year before the presidential election. Yay! Full year. Remember that when Jesus was being attacked, accused, judged unfairly, he still spoke the truth. When you speak the truth, even when it's not the expedient thing, you can always live with yourself. And when you do all of these things in your life will be transformed. It is inevitable. And that's what unity is about. It is about a transformation in consciousness. As the Apostle Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I am living proof that you can transform your life. It's something I know you can do if it's something you want to do. I want to leave you with a little story that I just love. A man attending a crowded church service refused to take off his hat when asked to do so by the ushers. Others asked him to remove his hat, but he remained obstinate. The preacher was perturbed also and waited for the man after the service. He told the man he was quite happy to have him as a guest and invited him to join the church. But he explained the traditional decorum regarding men's hats and said, I do hope that you will conform to that in the future. Thank you, said the man. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me. It is so good of you to invite me to join the congregation. And in fact, I joined it 3 years ago, and I've been coming regularly ever since. But today is the first time anyone paid attention to me. After being unknown for 3 years, today, by simply keeping on my hat, I've had the pleasure of talking with the ushers. And now I've had a conversation with you, who always appeared too busy to talk to me before. My hope is that none of you here ever feel or have ever felt this way about Unity of New York. I happen to believe you are wonderful, each and every one of you, that you have everything you need right now to create the most wonderful life you could ever imagine and probably have not even imagined. You are surrounded by friends on this Friendship Sunday, whether you know them or not. And what I'd like for you to do is please turn to someone sitting near you that you don't know and say, hello, friend. And now what I'd like for you to say to the very same person. In you, I see the face of God. I see the face of God. And each one of you. Know that you are loved and richly blessed and always welcomed in this gathering that some call church that we know as Unity of New York. Thank you.
As you take a breath and feel the blessing that you are, and allow the seat for a moment to support you, and just feel the love that is love from within out. And we are so blessed to be here at this now moment to know and share the truth. God is love, created in God's image and likeness. We are love. That is the truth of what we are. Whatever the degree of love each of us is expressing at a given moment, it does not change that truth. We are good and we are love. And as we just take a moment and allow that to sink in to the very depth of our being and be supported by that love, to take a moment and just allow the power and presence that is to love you. A healing love. A peace-filled love. A joy-filled love. A love that lets us know we are never alone. No matter the circumstances, whatever's happening around us, whatever looks like less than love, love is still the truth. And each of us is created with the innate ability to know that love and to express that love through self-love and to be love in expression, so that we share love. So let us take a moment into the silence and be still and know this truth. We are love. And take a breath and let it out. And even if that felt difficult for you, when you leave here today, allow that message to play over and over again in your mind until you feel it in your heart and you realize, if I can just be willing to believe that I am love, the transformation has already begun. To feel the gratitude for knowing transformation is already happening. That each of us is a work in progress. And that we can move from this place and walk triumphantly in that truth of knowing who and whose we are. And knowing that as love, and as knowing that we need each other to survive, as we move forward as divine love expressing perfectly. We can sit, stand, be, and give thanks for that unconditional loving presence that always is. As we take a final breath and let it out and say thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is.